Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jumping at the bit to tell the world that if you were the 49ers, you would be taking Justin Fields.
I just don't get it, Paul. Why the heck? I don't get it. Okay, fine, Mac Jones. Jimmy Garoppolo, 2.0. Let's take him to the moon. They almost won a Super Bowl with him, you know, years ago. I don't see it, man. I continue to evaluate the tape. Unless there's something that we don't know in the background that is about these guys that's changing everything else. I mean, Justin Fields been a commander for years. Mac Jones has, what, 13 starts? I just don't see it. And Trey Lance didn't play this year. You know, maybe Trey Lance is going to be the guy. I don't know, but just Fields just seems like the fit. And but hey, you know what? That's we'll see how it plays out. And if they bust on this pick, it's going to be as bad, if not worse, than Mitchell Trubisky for Patrick Mahomes.
Right. I think the big thing is, you know, to me, I look at the raw talent and I look at how the guy played in the biggest games. I'm not sure why, you know, they wouldn't. Why he's not considered right behind Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, and to me, he is with the athletic talent, with the arm talent, with the processing on the field, and the leadership qualities. I mean, like you said, in the biggest of games, this guy would take a huge hit, have to come off the field for a second, and then come back and then be fighting and scrapping for his team. There, when you see that as a teammate, you're like, "Let's go to war! I will do anything for that guy." You know, and that's who he is. And then anyway, it's funny, people bring up. You know, people ask, well, maybe it's a character thing. And that's an assumption. We have no information on his character situation. And Mac Jones, I mean, it's been reported that he has a DUI. It's like, but so why does that count against him? It's just, it's bizarre. It's crazy. And like you said, you know, when you look at the big moments, Justin Fields has experienced them. He's fought through them. And there are a lot of admirable qualities he's shown in those moments. It's something I think that more and more people are starting to realize is it's not just about how far you could throw in college football. It's about how many battles have you been through? How battle-tested are you? And oftentimes that will help show if you're ready for the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big thing. And the fact that he played at such a high level against the best teams, you know what I mean, and showed up the most. I don't understand why that doesn't. Why doesn't that kind of thing mean more to these people that do the drafting?
I don't know either, Paul. It's a bizarre mystery to me. I've been, you know, I think there's some people that value different ways. And here's the other thing: we could all be saying a lot of crazy things. You know, like this could all be a smokescreen. This could all be just a disguise. You know, I've seen some people say, like, you know what, Kyle Shanahan, this may just be his way to get people to make sure that they stay off Justin Fields, you know, before the third pick, and then he could pick Justin Fields. Either way, it's going to be an exciting and dramatic Thursday night when we figure out who are these guys that are going in the first round.
Yep. I mean, that's the thing. And do you buy that there's going to be five quarterbacks taken in the first round? Do you think that'll be the number?
I think so, and maybe not because, you know, Mac Jones is deserving of a first-round pick in the high upper end, but I think it's that teams have just grown to be, hey, we're desperate for a quarterback, let's just go get him. You know, Trevor Lawrence definitely going one. Looks like Zach Wilson, he's definitely going to the Jets. You know, even if the Niners take Mac Jones at three, you know, I think it is a guarantee that Justin Fields and Trey Lance will be off the board at the latest by 20. Like it's just there's no way it falls to the Steelers. But you know, Mac Jones to me is the tricky one. If does someone bite the apple? Does someone say, hey, we think this guy is all that? And if they do, because I think Trey Lance and Justin Fields are first-round quarterbacks, they'll eventually go. And there's too many teams that could use those guys. Even if you get to the middle part of the first round, teams like the Patriots at 15 or the Bears at 20, they could use quarterbacks right now. And I don't think they pass that opportunity up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big thing. You got to get your quarterback, and you got to get him early. And I think, you know, quarterbacks and linemen, and then obviously guys that stop you from passing, which would be pass rushers and corners, those are seem to be the four most valued positions.
Yep, I'd say that those are the valuable ones. And it's also just the way the NFL has gone, right? You know, quarterback is valued because the throwing the ball is the most effective thing in the NFL right now. So what are the things that you got to do to counter that the best? Well, you got to counter it with great cornerback play. So that becomes extremely valuable. Well, you can also counter it with a great pass rush. So that becomes valuable. Then how do you protect against pass rusher? Offensive tackle. And then also behind that, I'd say even the free-ranging type of safety, the way that Minkah Fitzpatrick plays, that's also extremely valuable because you're kind of the interchangeable chess piece that can fly all over the field and create the most chaos for a quarterback. So, yeah, that's where the value is in this draft, and that's honestly where the value is in the NFL. So I think a lot of things line up right now to make it for a very interesting and what I think will be an aggressive evening on Thursday where teams are going to trade up, they're going to trade down, and all sorts of moves to get the guy that they need, and everyone thinking that they're getting the guy of the future that's going to help mold their path to this new passing era that's the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing is that, you know, and we've seen, Chris, how that affects some other positions. And the interesting discussion to me and debate is how valuable running backs actually are. I can't get there where some people are going, which is running backs are, they're basically a dime a dozen. And, you know, you can get one in the fifth round that's just as good as the guy you're going to get in the first and things of the such. I mean, something has to be said for, you know, the fact that some guys are more talented than others.
Absolutely, Paul. I'm right with you. I think people there's people that are trying to be way too smart for the game. You know, I think they're trying to sound cool when they say, oh, running back, you can get your running back later. You know, because people, they'll stare at Aaron Jones, he was picked in the fifth round. Wow, you could just wait till the fifth round to get your guy. Well, no, it doesn't work like that. Most guys drafted out of the top 100 don't do anything to that caliber. I've been going over this so much for DKPittsburghSports.com, pointing out, you know, where – where running backs, bring a lot of value. But since 2017, when the Steelers started drafting running backs outside the top 100, top 100 picks in the draft, there have been 61 running backs picked out of the top 100 in those four drafts. Of those 61 running backs, six have had 900 yards seasons, and one of them, there have been six 900-yard seasons. One of them had two such seasons. And one of those five running backs to do that was James Conner. So, I mean, like, it is not something that is just automatic, like, oh, yeah, just get your guy late in the draft. Running backs don't matter. That's poppycock. Now, I think where the argument comes into play and where it actually is valuable to say, you shouldn't draft a running back super high when you have 1,000 needs on your team. Like, you know, if you're an unestablished, the way the Giants drafted Saquon Barkley, if you need a quarterback and a defensive line and an offensive line and linebackers and cornerbacks and you have all the other needs, yes, you need to get something else. But with the way that the Steelers are right now, they have a late first round pick that's a perfect value place for where Travis Etienne and Najee Harris and Javonte Williams are. And they have a secondary. They have Joe Hayden, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Terrell Edmonds. They have a defensive front with T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward and Stephon Dewitt and Devin Bush at linebacker. They have an offensive line that does need work, but they at least have David DeCastro, Kevin Dotson, guys they're confident in, and they're hoping that either Banner or both or one of Banner or Okorafor step up to help with that offensive line. And you've got a quarterback at least for this year. You have receivers. So adding a running back to the Steelers is very different because you're like, hey, this running back, if you get a dynamic player like Le'Veon Bell was, he can be the bridge to help end Roethlisberger's career with a strong note, give him a running back so that he doesn't have to throw the ball so much. And then when you do get the new quarterback, you have that primary running back to help him settle down and get used to the offense. But if you just go with, you know, more Joe Schmoes in the late rounds of the draft, and you keep missing, as most people do miss when they draft a running back outside of the top 100 picks, you're going to keep getting the same results. So I'm right with you, Paul. The notion that you shouldn't draft a running back in the first round, just pure nonsense.
No, I do. I don't like that we have these hard and fast rules that I don't know where they came from, but I don't like them when it comes to, you know, football like that for that very reason. You know, the Steelers aren't the only team in their division that are drafting. You obviously follow it as close as anybody and, you know, watch film on guys and, you know, obviously know who's doing what. What do you expect the Ravens to try and do, you know, early in their draft, as well as the Browns and the Bengals?
So I think that these teams are in very interesting situations. One, when I look at the Ravens and the fact that they traded back, them getting two late first round picks, that is very interesting and also kind of dangerous when you think about it. If you're the Steelers, like, man, there's a lot of guys that fit the values of things that you need. For one, the Ravens, I think they need to get back an offensive tackle for losing Orlando Brown. They need to get a safety who can help. They seem to always need help at wide receiver, but they also need help at, you know, as off of the edge rushers. So with two late first round picks, I could definitely see the Ravens going after maybe a Gregory Rousseau, maybe a guy that fell down from the first round, because edge rusher is a weird position this year. I think there's a lot of guys who could fit the mold of being an edge rusher, but when I compare them against some of the other first round talents, I'm like, I don't know if I pick that guy over, you know, say, you know, like a Rashawn Slater or Christian Darrisaw or, you know, one of those guys. But, you know, Azeez Ojulari from Georgia, you know, I think that would be a fit for the Ravens if he fell down to one of those picks. I also wouldn't put it out the realm of possibility for them to take a Trayvon Moehrig, because late in the first round, that's the perfect fit for Trayvon Moehrig. And I think he would quickly solve their problems at safety. The Bengals, at number five, to me, they need to not oversimplify this. This needs to be Penei Sewell. I mean, Joe Burrow, when they drafted him last year, you and I probably said this for several weeks on this very show, that he's going to have a problem behind that offensive line that can't block for nobody. And lo and behold, he tore his ACL. Not that that was a good thing that happened, but it was just like, hey, like, that was going to happen with this bad offensive line. You were just putting your franchise quarterback at risk. So after doing that last year, they cannot pass up on a guy who looks like a generational talent in Penei Sewell from Oregon to be the offensive tackle. And if they do, it most likely will be for Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, I think he'd be a great receiver talent, but I think that would be a mistake, because I think you can get some really good receiver talents late, and you can still get some tackles in the second round. But Penei Sewell is the one offensive tackle in this class that is far above the rest. And that's why I think that he fits there. Now for the Browns, they're also in an interesting position, because remember, they draft pretty late. They need, despite them getting Clowney, I think they could still use getting another edge rusher, but I'm not sure that's where they'll go there. They could use interior defensive line help, because they just lost Danny Shelton. But, you know, that'd be interesting. But I don't see any guys that are really worth it. Christian Barmore is my top guy. He's from Alabama. But I wouldn't touch Christian Barmore until the second round. You know, they could get a wide receiver. But what might end up being the pick for them is if Caleb Farley at cornerback falls past the Steelers, and if he gets down to where the Browns pick, he might be the guy, because Caleb Farley, pre his surgeries and everything, a lot of people were going to say he was going to be the best cornerback in this draft class, but he's had a couple back surgeries. He didn't play this last season, so some teams may be down on him. If he falls past the Steelers, the Browns may be the team that scoops him up.
Yep. Well, it's going to be a real interesting to see how it all fits together and what it all looks like. And, Chris, I'm sure we will be picking your brain after, maybe even the night before the draft, I'll have you back on, but especially after the draft when you can break it all down for us like you always do. Before we let you go, let everyone know where they can find you and find your stuff.
Hey, you guys can always read my work at dkpittsburghsports.com. You can subscribe to us to get all my analysis where I do Carter's Classroom, and I'll actually have a new Carter's Classroom up tomorrow on all the offensive tackles I think that are viable picks for the Steelers. But you can also just read, hey, we update you on news. There's plenty of things that are for free on the site, including our podcast network, DK Sports Radio, where you can get all of Dan Kovacevic's takes on the Steelers, the Pirates, the Penguins, my takes on the Steelers with Dale Lally. We've got hockey. We've got baseball. We've even got my Pitt podcast that I do there. And, of course, you can also listen to me on the Locked On Steelers podcast, where I do a Monday through Friday show on the Steelers. So much great content. So many places to check it out. Follow me on Twitter, at Carter Critiques.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.